the best and the brightest.
Opportunity is
the next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
Pride season is in full swing across the country, and certainly here in Michigan. LGBT groups are mounting parades and festivals, bringing in visitors and their dollars. And that fact is at the heart of the latest essay for The Next Idea, understanding that gay rights equals economic growth, something Michigan badly needs. Rohin Guha grew up in Metro Detroit, left for New York City because as a gay man, he didn't feel comfortable or welcome in a state where he could be fired without repercussion just for being gay. But he's returned to Michigan, ready to press ahead toward his dream of what Michigan could be like if its leaders recognize the economic power of equality. Rohin, you grew up in Metro Detroit, Troy to be exact, and graduated from the University of Michigan in 2006. And then not long after that, you moved to New York City. Tell us more about leaving Michigan for the Big Apple.
Sure. So I graduated in 2006. I then went to pursue my MFA in fiction writing at Sarah Lawrence. And that was my passport to New York, basically. And I realized I wanted to go somewhere where there were progressive values and, you know, where the sky was truly the limit and I could find my people. And that wasn't going to be in Michigan. I thought that was going to be in New York. And I would go on to spend the next 6 years there kind of, you know, honing my craft, making new friends, and truly seeing what a welcoming community New York City provided for LGBTQ individuals of all stripes.
And can you contrast that experience with what it was like for you growing up as a gay teenager and a college student here in Michigan?
As a queer teenager, you know, growing up in Michigan, I mean, there were no support systems, there were no networks. Like, you know, whenever during instances of bullying or whatnot, the school administration would often turn a blind eye to any of those situations. They didn't have the infrastructure to deal with it. And the community at large treated queer identity, gay identity, as this giant other. It was something to be feared, not revered or celebrated. It was something that was so abstract and alien that they decided that, okay, we're just going to fear this, we're going to hate this, we're not going to try to understand it or learn it, even though many of our own kids are queer.
And here with this experience of true liberation, you still decided to come back to Michigan. What drew you back, Rohin?
What drew me back was the fact that I got to a point in New York where I loved New York, but I felt it did everything it needed to do for me. You know, I went in very doe-eyed, very naive. I went in as a 22-year-old, and I came out this 28-year-old, slightly jaded, but also a lot more worldly. And more importantly, I felt I was more confident in who I was as a queer man and in what I could do for other people now. You know, knowing that, okay, well, New York kind of, they've figured out more or less their game plan for how to get with the program, how to make life better for queer men and women. Michigan, on the other hand, they haven't figured that out. In fact, they're going the other way, making it a more hostile place, pushing away families, pushing away potential people who would come here for jobs, pushing all these people away just to clutch onto this old idea of heteronormativity that more and more people are scrapping altogether.
So do you think Michigan has lost ground since you left? Or do you think there have been improvements?
No, I think there has been improvement. Like when I came back, I saw that, you know, it's just been very slow. You know, it's just been watching an iceberg shift a little bit. That's all it's been. But for me, what drew me back to Michigan was the fact that, okay, well, I learned all this stuff in New York. I kind of became the best version of myself I could be there. Now, how do I take that energy and redirect it to something I'm more passionate about, which is my hometown, which is my home state, which is Michigan? And because this is where ultimately I'd love to throw my roots down here for the long run. I'd love to raise a family here. I'd love to have them raise their family here, on and on and on and on into future generations.
What would you say are the significant differences between the LGBTQ communities in Metro Detroit and in New York City?
So in Michigan, the challenge is that people can't be themselves for fear of repercussion, whether it's they're afraid of getting fired, whether they're afraid of getting attacked on the street, or whether they're afraid of getting kicked out of their homes. The culture here is a lot more, dare I say, medieval. And what that medieval culture does is it basically creates a fear-based climate. So queer men and women out here, they're not going to be as open and proud and happy about their identities here in Michigan as they might be in New York or even Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that's why in 2006, I fled to New York. A lot of my friends, if they didn't go to New York, they went to Chicago or they went to San Francisco. Like, everyone had a very anywhere but here mentality.
In your essay for the next idea, Rohin, you take an economic approach to argue for equality, and you imagine what Michigan could look like long after the debate over gay rights has been left to the historians. Why did you choose that economic angle?
Because, honestly, equality never motivates legislators or politicians. There's no payday in equality, but there's always a payday in the economic argument. And the fact is that I go back to New York's West Village or New York's Greenwich Village, or at least, honestly, any neighborhood in New York's West Side, where if you look at where it was in the 80s and maybe early 90s and where they are now, it's by and large because you have queer-friendly establishments that moved in, that kind of set the ground for things to get cleaned up, for property values to rise, for more businesses to move in, for people to be able to even start businesses. And that's what laid the framework for all kinds of continued rapid economic development. Whereas out here in Michigan, if I have to think about gayborhoods, I'm probably stuck thinking about Carytown out in Ann Arbor, or perhaps 9 Mile just west of Woodward in Ferndale, mm-hmm. or maybe just the storefront outside of Pronto and Royal Oak.
In fact, you had a very well put thought in your essay that you said equality alone doesn't fatten anybody's pockets. It doesn't make people change the tune of their sacred hymns. What does the Michigan that you dream about look like?
So the thing is that if all businesses, if they just understood the fact that, okay, what's the number one thing they need? They need customers. They need customers who come back regularly. They need customers who bring their friends and their family members in through their doors, you know? So, I mean, it's these very basic ideas of how do businesses stay afloat. And at the end of the day, most businesses are going to want to set up shop in very highly trafficked areas. And that's the one thing that Metro Detroit doesn't really have that much, where we might have a couple of downtown drags, but we don't have those spots where if you're basically telling whatever fraction of your population that you can't be yourself out in public or in most of these establishments, then they're only going to frequent the queer-friendly spaces. They're going to bars like Soho down in Ferndale or Pronto out in Royal Oak. It's one of two places for most people, versus going to any bar and being yourself, which that's not a luxury many people have out here.
Or buying houses or setting up businesses.
Right. And at the kind of longer end of that is that if people are only limited to one or two options where they can be themselves, and then at the end of the day, if they have the option, they're going to try to look for communities and cities or even states where they're not so limited or restricted. So again, I turn back to people who might decide that, nope, I want to raise a family in the greater Chicago area because Illinois passed marriage equality. It's the same with New York. They passed marriage equality as well. So you have people who are now growing up, they want to raise families or they want to buy houses, and that's an investment they're afraid to make here in Michigan because our government has demonstrated that they're not ready to get with the times, or that somehow rainbow-colored dollars don't matter as much as non-rainbow-colored dollars.
And what's at stake for Michigan's economy, do you think, if we don't improve our record regarding LGBTQ rights?
So people have been drawing the contrast of Michigan's Mississippiification on a number of occasions, you know, with its backwards policies, with the fact that our roads are falling apart, the fact that our schools are overcrowded, the fact that you have entire towns where the infrastructure is crumbling. And I think it's, at this point, there's a huge perception that I think that if you live within the state's bounds, you might be a little bit insulated against. But the minute you go to a city like Chicago, which is just, you know, 5 hours south of us, you see exactly, you know, this is how a city's supposed to look. And I think it's all about the optics of everything and the fact that those optics are now driving the growth of business and the talent retention and how that ties back to LGBTQ identity and acceptance is that until our leaders actually get to the point where they're accepting everyone, regardless of race, sexual orientation, gender identity, until they actually get to that point, the optics are going to be awful for this city, for this state, and that's in turn going to affect how well we can attract talent, retain talent, and then attract, you know, the Googles of tomorrow.
Rohan Guha's essay is on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. We invite your comments in the section beneath the essay or, as always, on Twitter at NextIdeaMI. Rohan Guha, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure.